There are no celebrities in heaven. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year, and today is Epistle Sunday. We're going to begin the book of James by reading the first three chapters. I'm calling today's episode, Does It Show? The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E298. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's begin.
James chapter 1. This letter is from James, the slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers, the little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true Word, and we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. James chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, "You can stand over there, or else sit on the floor," well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who opposes you and drags you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal laws found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, "You must not commit adultery," also said, "You must not murder." So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, "Goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well." But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, "Some people have faith, others have good deeds." But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. James chapter 3. My friends, we should not all try to become teachers. In fact, teachers will be judged more strictly than others. All of us do many wrong things, but if you can control your tongue, you are mature and able to control your whole body. By putting a bit into the mouth of a horse, we can turn the horse in different directions. It takes strong winds to move a large sailing ship, but the captain uses only a small rudder to make it go in any direction. Our tongues are small too, and yet they brag about big things. It takes only a spark to start a forest fire. The tongue is like a spark. It is an evil power that dirties the rest of the body and sets a person's entire life on fire with flames that come from hell itself. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures can be tamed and have been tamed, but our tongues get out of control. They are restless and evil and always spreading deadly poison. My dear friends, with our tongues we speak both praises and curses. We praise our Lord and Father, and we curse people who were created to be like God, and this isn't right. Can clean water and dirty water both flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? Does fresh water come from a well full of salt water? Are any of you wise or sensible? Then show it by living right and by being humble and wise in everything you do. But if your heart is full of bitter jealousy and selfishness, don't brag or lie to cover up the truth. This kind of wisdom doesn't come from above. It is earthly and selfish and comes from the devil himself. Whenever people are jealous or selfish, they cause trouble and do all sorts of cruel things. But the wisdom that comes from above leads us to be pure, friendly, gentle, sensible, kind, helpful, genuine, and sincere. When peacemakers plant seeds of peace, they will harvest justice.
James was a brother, or more correctly, a half-brother of Jesus, though he was not a believer until after the resurrection, but he went on to become known as a pillar of the early church. So here in the book that bears his name, after he writes his greeting, he immediately launches into the subject of dealing with difficulties. The Jews, believers in Jesus and otherwise, had been scattered and under all sorts of persecutions, and James wanted them to know that hard times are meant to grow our faith. Obviously, we know that difficulties arise in every life, and James wants us to see that God can and does use those times for our benefit. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you must have done something wrong if you're going through the fire. And then James goes on to say that just hearing the scriptures is not enough. Don't think that by going to church or reading the Bible or listening to this humble podcast, for that matter, is enough to make you righteous. You have to act on what you hear. God's word has to make a difference in your life. You have to take action on what you hear. And then in chapter 2, James talks about valuing some people over others, and that's not what we should do. Every person has value, whether they're rich or poor, important in the eyes of men, or insignificant. In God's eyes, we're all the same. There are no celebrities in heaven. And verses 14 through 20 in the second chapter have caused a lot of controversy over the years, but really, in my mind, it's pretty clear. The message is this: if you say you love God, but your life doesn't show it, you're fooling yourself. Now listen, if I love God, I'm going to just naturally begin to do things that show the love of God. I don't do those things to gain God's favor, and I don't do them to earn points in heaven. I do them because He has changed who I am. If I'm the same person I've always been, then I've not truly met Jesus, and I'm still lost. The example James gives is that of Abraham. He said he had faith, but until he showed that he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, his faith was incomplete. It was only when he raised the knife to sacrifice his son that God pronounced him complete. And then, as James quoted from the Old Testament, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. And James said that Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, don't misunderstand. We are saved by faith alone. There's nothing we can do to earn any part of our salvation. Nothing. But unless my faith results in a changed life, it's worthless, because a true faith in God fills us with the Holy Spirit, who brings about the fruit of the Spirit that was talked about by Paul in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You know that list: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit just naturally grows on a tree, right? The apple tree doesn't have to try to grow apples. It just grows apples. It's the same with the fruit of the Spirit. If you have truly become a new person by yielding yourself to Jesus, then these things will become evident in your life. Is there a change in your life? Does it show? And then in chapter 3, James wrote about how powerful the tongue is. He was referring to the actual spoken word, of course, but I think it would be safe here in the 21st century to expand that thought to what we say on the internet, on Facebook, Twitter, and any of the other social media that's out there now. I'm sure you've seen a comment or a post on Facebook or whatever that's ignited a firestorm of nasty responses, right? Well, let me ask you a question. Did anything good come of it? Probably not. Beloved, we as believers are representatives of Jesus, right? And since we are, we need to be aware of the words we use, both online and in the real world. People are watching and people are listening. So I would much rather hold my tongue or step away from the keyboard than bring shame to Jesus' name or break a relationship with someone who needs the Lord. I don't want what I say online to negate my credibility as a believer or cancel any future discussion with someone that might otherwise ask to know more about how to have a relationship with God. Scripture says that they will know we are His by the love we have for one another. So let's be sure that when we're online, we leave no doubt in anyone's mind that we're His. And one more thing, if you find that social media elevates your blood pressure whenever you sign on, consider taking a break from it or completely close your account. Social media can be an addiction for some people, and it can be harmful to your mental and emotional health. I closed my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts well over a year ago, and I don't miss them. The first few days were a little strange, not checking my timelines, but now I don't miss them at all. So what do you think? Let me know on the show notes page at lifespringmedia.com/S12E298. Tomorrow, being Monday, we'll be back in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll read chapters 4 through 6.
Boost.
On this date in church history, June 26, 1839, Scottish clergyman and missionary Robert Murray McShane wrote in a letter, "Joy is increased by spreading it to others." I like that. And on this date, June 26, 1968, the Wesleyan Church, which is a non-charismatic American holiness denomination, was formed by the union of the Wesleyan Methodist Church, which was organized in 1843, and the Pilgrim Holiness Church, which began as the International Holiness Union and Prayer League in 1897. Now, see, I thought the Wesleyan Church was around a lot longer than that. June 26, 1968. What do you know? Just a quick reminder that this coming Tuesday, June 28th, will mark show number 300. After that, there's only 64 episodes left. To mark episode 300, we're having a little promotion. Normally, a one-time donation of $300 would earn an executive producer credit, but for this episode, you'll receive a distinguished producer credit with your $300 donation. And a $130 donation will earn an executive producer credit, and a $30 donation, and just $30, will earn an associate producer credit. But wait, there's more. In addition to these credits, I'll send you a soft cover copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, as my thank you to every person who donates at the associate producer, executive producer, or distinguished producer level. When you make your donation, please be sure to give me your mailing address so I can send your copy right out to you. Cutoff time is Monday, June 27th, 2022 at 4 p.m. Pacific. That'll give me just enough time to get the episode produced for you and have it up by 10 o'clock Pacific that night. So come on in, the water's fine. Get yourself a special distinguished producer, executive producer, or associate producership and a copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. Just go to lifespringmedia.com/support to make your donation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and specifically today, Lord, for the writings of James. Thank you for the reminder that our lives must show that we are yours and that you're doing a work in us. Make us, Lord, ever more receptive to the changes that the Holy Spirit asks of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a prayer request or a praise, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E298. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thank you for inviting me into your life today. I always enjoy our time together. Thanks to the team, Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.